Now this was unheard of, it was unprecedented. Why? Before the coming of Islam, when Makkah was always a center of worship, and when the Mushrikeen tribes would come to perform their Hajj or their Umrah and perform their rites around the Kaaba, the Quraysh, whatever their political or personal differences with any tribe or any group of people from out of Makkah, when it came to the worship of Allah, when it came to the Tawaf, when it came to the sacred masjid and the house of Allah, they would put their differences aside and they would never prevent anybody from coming to the city. There was no restriction at all. All were allowed to enter, even if they opposed them. But for the first time, in their bitterness and enmity towards the Prophet ﷺ, they refused him entry and the Sahaba. And the Sahaba knew this, and this is what enraged them even more. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in their indignance and wanting to retaliate and do something, what happened is that as they were camped in Hudaybiyah, some mushrikeen, non-believers from an Arab tribe, were making their way to Makkah and they passed by the Muslims in Hudaybiyah. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum declared their intention to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, "Ya Rasulullah, their polytheist brethren in Makkah have prevented us from entering the holy city. So why don't we in turn prevent them from reaching the city? Their brothers are the ones who stopped us and prevented us from performing our rites. And why should they be allowed to do so? They are the enemy. So why don't we stop them?" Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed verses of the Quran in Surah Al-Ma'idah. And in the very first verse, sorry, in the second verse of Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَنْ صَدُّوكُمْ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ أَنْ تَعْتَدُوا وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Allah, addressing the companion, says, "Do not let your enmity and hatred of a people, because they have prevented you from al-Masjid al-Haram, the house of Allah," meaning your anger is just, and your bitterness is understandable, and your resentment and hatred of these people, of the enemy, is valid. But still, do not let your hatred of a people, because they have prevented you from al-Masjid al-Haram, the house of Allah, do not let this hatred incite you to committing injustice and transgressing the bounds with regard to the other people. Assist one another in righteousness and in taqwa, and do not assist one another in sin and in transgression. And fear Allah, indeed Allah is severe in His punishment. So even when it came to the disbelievers, the mushrikeen or the Yahud, Allah instructed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to be just in their view of them, in their treatment, in their relationship. So imagine what level of obligation must exist in Islam for a Muslim to be fair and just towards his fellow Muslim, especially with regards to how a person views another. Now, in this day and age, especially when we fall out with one another, we have our disputes and our disagreements. In our disagreements, we transgress the bounds ourselves. It's natural to disagree. But how a person behaves and responds to that disagreement is what marks his character. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a very famous hadith, which I've commented on in detail before, that there are four things that you found in a person. Arba'un man kunna fi, this hadith related by Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and virtually all the authors, from Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu. It says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أربع من كنا فيه كان منافقا خالصا ومن كانت فيه خصلة منهن كانت فيه خصلة من النفاق حتى يدعها إذا حدث كذب وإذا أؤتمن خان وإذا عاهد غدر وإذا خاصم فجر. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, there are four traits which you find in a person. He is a pure hypocrite, and if one of them is to be found in him, then he has a characteristic of hypocrisy in him until he abandons it. When he speaks, he lies. When he is entrusted with an amana, a trust, he proves to be dishonest. When he makes a promise, he breaks that promise. These are the first three. And the final one, وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرَ. When he disagrees with somebody, then he sins openly. I.e., in his disagreements, he doesn't remain within limited and reasonable bounds. Rather, he transgresses all bounds in his opposition and in his disagreement. And this is what a lot of us tend to do. If we are envious of somebody, if we dislike someone, then our hatred knows no bounds. And we wish to seek retaliation and revenge in any way possible. And we are not willing to believe a good word or a good thing about him. And our judgment is so impaired by blind hatred and passion, by bigotry and opposition, that even if the whole world holds that person in good stead, and if the whole world speaks well of him and views him or her favorably, still, simply because of our hatred or our personal reasons, we will not judge them fairly, but we will hold them responsible for everything. And not only that, we will try to punish them physically. If not physically, then emotionally. We will try to inflict pain upon them in any way, or suffering. Or, if we can't even do that, we will ensure that we want others to hate them and dislike them as much as we do. We won't just say, look, I have a disagreement with him, and therefore let us part company. Both of us go our own ways. Rather, we hate them with a passion, and we want everybody else to do the same. This is transgressing the bounds. So much so, that whatever we learn about them, it will never be enough to change our opinion. But we want others to hate them, we want others to dislike them. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam has described this as being a trait of hypocrisy. And not only that, we are so unfair that not only do we hold that person responsible, but anybody else that is connected to that person, we hold them responsible. Many of us, if 7 generations ago someone's 8th granddad did something to someone else's 8th granddad, till this day the families have not forgiven one another. And they still hold one another responsible. It's like saying, Funa, who is connected to you in this way, in this very distant way, he did this to Funa, who is connected to me in this very distant way, and therefore you are my enemy. And this is the way we still behave. And not only that, but those who are connected to us, those whom we love, members of the family, our parents, our children, brothers and sisters, and even members of the extended family, whom we haven't fallen out with, simply because they belong to something similar to ours, or the same thing as ours, our own family, our race, our background, our country, our village, our clan, we will defend them, even though they are wrong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَا نُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَاعْدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى وَبِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُوا ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-An'am that we will not burden a soul with more than it can bear. When you speak, then speak justly, even though it may be related to your own relatives. So if your own relatives have done something wrong, admit to it, accept the fact. And simply because you don't like the other person, you cannot defend the indefensible. وَبِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُوا, Allah says, and fulfill the covenant of Allah. Allah instructs you and advises you to do this in the hope that you will learn, you will understand. And in another verse of Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنَ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ إن يكن غنيا أو فقيرا فالله أولى بهما ولا تتبعوا الهوى أن تعدلوا وإن تلووا أو تعرضوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, O believers, be establishers of justice. Be upright for the sake of Allah. Be bearers of testimony. even though this testimony may be against yourselves, or against your parents, or against your closest relatives. Do not be unjust, meaning do not defend someone unfairly against another, even the one you are defending, is rich and you do so out of love for his wealth, or is poor and you do so out of compassion and sympathy for his poverty. Why? For Allahu awla bihima, Allah knows that Allah is more closer to the two than you could ever be. وَإِن تَلْوُوا أَوْ تُعْرِضُوا, and if you distort your testimony in favour of your close relatives, or against someone you dislike, or أَوْ تُعْرِضُوا, or you back away, you refuse to testify. What does this verse mean? Simply that sometimes two people are arguing, or two parties are in dispute, and someone approaches a third person and says to them, will you please intervene? Will you please arbitrate? Or will you please tell me, this person has done this, used to tell me, is it correct or incorrect? Now we know that if I get involved, I will have to testify against my own. If I speak the truth, it's going to hurt someone I love. So what we try to do is extricate ourselves by saying, oh, you know, I'm just a very quiet person, I like to keep myself to myself, I don't want to get involved. We won't say openly, look, I'm not going to testify against him, I won't get involved. Allah says, if you distort the evidence, the testimony, or if you turn away, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا, you may be able to deceive others, but Allah is well aware of what you are doing. So Allah says, be bearers of testimony, even though this testimony may be against yourselves. And if the other, you dislike him for any reason, still be fair. Allah says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمُنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَنُونَ. Allah says, O believers, stand upright for the sake of Allah, and be bearers of testimony and witnesses unto justice. And do not let your hatred or your dislike of a people lead you to committing injustice in any way. Be just. This is closer to taqwa. And fear Allah. Allah is well aware of what you are doing. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were instructed by Allah to be just even in their treatment of their enemy. And they fulfill the obligation of these verses. We can't even do the same for our fellow Muslims. So much so that it's been narrated that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu, a companion, he was sent by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Khaybar, which was inhabited by Jews. The Jews of Khaybar, when Khaybar was conquered by the Muslims, they agreed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remain on the land and to submit to the authority of Islam, and they agreed to pay half of their produce annually to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims of Medina. Well, to the Muslims. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu to collect the tax, the due, whatever it was, the kharaj, etc., from Khaybar, from the Jews. So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu went to measure and to calculate how much was to be paid. So the Jews, quite naturally, offered him a bribe so that he may fiddle with the measurements, with the calculations, and they said that, you know, we will give you this much on the side if you can reduce the amount that we have to pay. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu said, listen, I have come from someone who is the most beloved to me in the whole creation of Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to you, and you are the most detestable people to me in the whole creation of Allah. These are the words of the hadith. He said, you are more despicable in my sight than apes and swine. But listen, my love for the Prophet of Allah and my hatred for you, neither will incite me to committing injustice with you. I will still be fair. there's no need to give me a bribe. I will be fair. Whatever is due, I will not claim a penny more. The last part is obvious to my explanation, but the words ended with this, that my hatred for you, my love for the Prophet ﷺ, my hatred for you, will not lead me to commit an injustice. This is the way, exactly as Allah says, O believers, let not your hatred lead you to commit an injustice. Be just, be fair, and fear Allah. This is close to taqwa and fear Allah. Allah is well aware of what you are doing. Now we, unfortunately, as I said earlier, we hold everyone responsible whom we dislike. And if we take a dislike to someone, if we envy someone, we fall out with someone, then we transgress the bounds. We go beyond the bounds in our opposition, in our desire for revenge. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that even in our thoughts and in our perception of people, we must be just. This means that, you see, we can't be judgmental, we shouldn't be judgmental, but we all have to judge, we all have to form an opinion, we all naturally, our minds create an impression about someone. Even if one Muslim meets another stranger, another Muslim, for 5 minutes, speaks to them, both will go away from that meeting. It may be just a casual, spontaneous, informal meeting, barely for a few minutes, but each will go away with a thought, an impression, and a view and perception about the other. And even in that, Allah has instructed us to be just. Judge people fairly. Think of them favorably. That is the instruction of the Quran and the Ahadith. Fortunately, we base our impressions on people simply on our tastes, on our likes and dislikes, whether we incline to that person or not. If we like them for some bigoted or wrong reason, and we are not willing to listen to anything negative about them, and if we take a dislike to someone for whatever reason, no matter how wrong it may be, we are not willing to listen to any good about that person. And we think it doesn't matter, as long as we don't do anything wrong, or we're not unfair in our treatment, in our distribution, it doesn't matter now. Allah has instructed us to be fair, even in our thoughts and our perceptions, in our view of one another. And one of the worst things that happens is what I said earlier. If we have a dispute with one person, then we punish everybody else. We hold others responsible. And that is extremely unfair. It's haram. If the son commits a crime, we hold the father, the mother, the whole family responsible. We hold the brother, the sister, meaning everybody responsible, even though they have no control. If someone commits an act of injustice, then we hold others responsible, and that person. Again, this is haram. The only time when one is responsible for another's actions is when that person approves of that action, or when a person was guilty of incitement, of encouragement, of connivance, or of instruction, and that person is guilty of the same crime. Otherwise, one cannot hold another person responsible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah does not burden the soul with more than it can bear. For it is what it has earned, and against the soul is what it has earned against itself, but nobody else. In another verse, Allah says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مِمَا كَسَّبَتْ رَحِينَ. On the day of reckoning, each soul shall be prevented from moving forth, will be held to account by Allah for what it has done. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah again, تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَلَا تُسَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. These are a people who have passed away. For them are their deeds, what they have earned, and for you is what you have earned, and you shall not be questioned about them. Equally, others will not be questioned about you. You will not be questioned about others. But unfortunately, these days, in our dislike for someone, we hold everybody who is connected to that person responsible. And some of us think, oh, it's okay, it's just a small thing. It's a major sin. It's a major act of injustice. It's a dhulm. Allah has not held another soul responsible for what somebody else does. Why should we? Just because someone is connected to another, that is their only crime? As I was saying, we are, Allah has told us to be just. That means every Muslim is innocent until proven guilty. In everything. In their chastity, in their behaviour, in anything that they have been accused of, in their aqeedah, in their faith. I say aqeedah because there are people who have actually said this, and not only do they say this, this is what they preach, this is what they believe and practice with a passion. That it's not permissible to give salam to anyone until you have verified their aqeedah. It's not permissible to give salam to anyone until you have verified their aqeedah. So for such people, every Muslim is guilty until proven innocent, even in their faith. Similarly, no matter what a person has been accused of, they are innocent until proven guilty. Just because we heard something, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, someone says, oh, that person, he's like this. We are judgmental. He's a fasiq, he's a fajir, he's sinful, he's good, he's bad. How do you know? Oh, he did this. And how do you know? My wife heard it from her friend, from her husband, who was at the barber's shop. Who heard it from another chap at the barber's shop, who heard it from his nephew. And on the basis of this one lie, it's not even evidence, a lie, we judge a person and review them in a particular way. Then, maybe we just dislike the person, maybe we hate the way he looks, maybe he's got a better car than us. Maybe he's more privileged than us in some way, we're envious. And therefore we are willing to cling on to this one thing. 100 people may tell us otherwise, but no, our passion, our bigotry, our hatred for that person, our dislike, our envy, all of these things will not allow us to view the person in a good way. And we think, oh, as long as I don't say anything or don't do anything, it's not haram. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. A dhulm, what a great dhulm is this. Another thing that I was saying is we hold others responsible for something they haven't done. Allah says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, وَمَنْ يَكْسِبْ إِثْمٍ فَإِنَّمَا يَكْسِبُهُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ. Whoever commits a sin, he commits a sin to his own account, against himself. How can we hold other people responsible? These days, the son commits a crime, we hold a grandfather who's lying in his grave responsible, and we hold 7 future generations responsible. I say this, it may sound rather personal, but people have done the same with myself. If for some reason they are unable to get to me because of me, they have tried through other means. So people have rang me, people have confronted me in the masjid, not in a bad way, but still, they've come and complained and said, we wish to complain to you. I said, what? I said, Funa. They say, Funa, one person or a group of individuals, this is what they said to me. And I was offended by what they said. It's some personal thing. So I said, I don't even know who you're talking about. Are they your students? What makes them my students? They're your students. They come to your talks, they listen to you, whatever. I have no students. I am a student myself. I have no students. And people who've tried to hold me responsible for the sin or for the crime or for the ill act or ill speech of another, let me make this declaration: I have no students, I am a student myself. Every man for himself. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. Allah does not burden the soul with more than it can bear. For it is what it has earned, and against it, it is what it has incurred. Allah says in Surah An-Najm, أَمْ لَمْ يُنَبَّأْ بِمَا فِي صُحْفِ مُوسَى وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى أَلَّا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى ثُمَّ يُجْزَاهُ الْجَزَاءَ الْأَوْفَى وَأَنَّ إِلَى رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى. Allah says, has he not been informed with what is contained in the scriptures of Musa and in the scriptures of Ibrahim, who was faithful, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, What was contained in their scriptures? The message of the Qur'an, the message of the Torah, the message of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the message and the law in all religions, what was contained in their scriptures? Allah taziru wa ziratun wizra ukhra, that no soul shall bear the burden of another soul. Wa an laysa lil insani illa ma sa'a, and that no man, there is nothing for man except what he has earned himself, and soon his effort shall be observed by Allah. Then he shall be paid in full for whatever he has done, good or bad. And to your Lord is everyone's return. I cannot be held responsible for what anybody has done. Too many times I have found myself in a situation where an apology is being demanded of me for something I know nothing of. An apology is being, an explanation is being demanded of me on behalf of people whom, wallahi al-azim, I have never seen in my entire life. Too often, I am held responsible, in public and in private, for something I have not done. Too many times I have found myself saying to someone, listen, brother, if I have said something to you, or if I have done something to you, then seek your justice of me, and I will, inshallah, repay you. Otherwise, don't hold me responsible. And on one occasion said, why don't you speak to their parents? Why don't you speak to their family? What's it to do with me? Is this what I teach? If I teach this, agreed, I am responsible. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his message was simple. Allah says, addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Surah Yunus, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ اِهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ فَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. Allah addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say, O Prophet of Allah, O mankind, the truth has come to you from your Lord. Whoever finds guidance, then he finds guidance for the benefit of his own soul. And whoever errs and deviates from the path, then he does so to the detriment of his own soul. وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. And I am not responsible for you, and I am not a guardian over you. And on so many occasions I've had to say, people have tried to dig at me by saying, oh, your students have done this. I said, listen, I have no students, I am a student myself. If you want to make people my students will be those who listen to me, not those who disobey. And I don't have anything to say myself. What I say is ultimately, inshaAllah, if what I preach from with the verses of the Qur'an and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why do you wish to make me responsible? Why don't you look at it the other way? Rather than saying, your students, why don't you say, these ummatis of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this? Or my fellow Muslims did this? Would you say that Islam is responsible for the action of the Muslims? Would you say the Qur'an and the Sunnah both are responsible for the actions of the Muslims? Ma'adallah, ma'adallah. And I shudder saying this. Can any one of us hold the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responsible for what you and I do in the name of Islam and in his name? Never. Each man for himself. Allah tazra wa ziratun wizra ukhra wa an laysa lil insani illa ma sa'a. No soul shall bear the burden of another soul. And there is nothing for man except what he has earned himself. So many verses of the Quran, all of which testify to this. If someone dislikes another, if someone is envious of another, if someone hates another, let not their hatred lead them to committing injustice. Even in our perceptions, our judgments of one another, we should be fair. And the truth is, we cannot be judgmental. Only Allah knows. We have been instructed to entertain a favourable and honest opinion about every Muslim. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu relates in a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed tawaf around the Kaaba and said, looking at the Kaaba, O Kaaba, how beautiful you are and how beautiful is your fragrance. O Kaaba, how great you are and how great is your sanctity. But by Allah, in whose hands rests the soul of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sanctity of a believer is greater in the sight of Allah than even the Kaaba.
This lecture was given by Shaykh Abu Yusuf Riyadul Haq and has been presented to you by Al-Kawthar Productions. For further information, additional lectures and books, contact us on 0121-773-5191 or alternatively by post at Al-Kawthar Productions, P.O. Box 6008, Birmingham, B10-0UW, United Kingdom. Or visit our website at www.alkawtharacademy.org. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.